prayer. God's written word, extract that is from the Bible, offered to you quite freely, yours, simply and only for the taking. It is God's word, and what God has spoken and what He has require you to know in order that you might come to a knowledge of His grace, His love, His favor. These were written, the Bible says, that you might know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that believing you might have life in His name. Like to have a copy of God's word, feel free to come and ask for one. It's offered to you quite freely without any cost or any obligation to you. Some people, of course, they say that that there are contradictions in the Bible, but nobody yet showed me one, but and I never, my years of studying the Bible, never did come across one. There are what you might call, you know, apparent contradiction. You might think it is, like, you know, but once you study the matter, you know, look at it more closely, you understand that's not the case. You know, for instance, the Bible says that God is love, and that is true. Clearly, unequivocally, stated, God is love, stark truth, reality. But then, of course, as my sign here says, God is angry with the wicked every day. Some people would perhaps think that that too is a contradiction, but not really. People who love get angry too. I'm sure that some of you here this afternoon who have had the experience of being parents or grandparents, times when you've been angry with children or grandchildren because of their bad behavior, but doesn't mean to say that you don't love them because you're angry with them. You know, the statement that you know, that a person who loves, you know, is a person, you know, when they see somebody that they love in danger, well, then they warn them of that danger. That, of course, that, of course, is what the statement is about, that God is angry with the wicked every day. But in His love, He's done something about the wickedness, you know, measures in which that wickedness, of course, can be sorted, if you like, you know, brought to an end, and reconciliation to God, an end of His anger. And for a person, you know, I tell you, even the worst, the most wicked of persons can be reconciled to God and brought to a knowledge, experience, that is, of His extreme love. His extreme love, God has done something in order that men and women might be saved, delivered from that wickedness that causes the anger of God. So rest assured, the statement that God is love, it stands, you know. But what you have to understand is that God is not only love, but He is holy. And because He is holy, and because He is love, well, then He can't condone wickedness. Can't condone that which is wrong. There are things, you know, that God cannot do, and that is condone evil, because He is good And because he is love, he cannot condone wickedness, can't just wink at it, you know, and brush it under the carpet the way that, well, that you and I would do, perhaps, maybe with our evil self. It doesn't matter, you know, just wink at it, brush it under the carpet, forget about it, move on. No, you see, God can't do that because he's holy. He's of purer eyes, the Bible says, than to behold evil. You know, he's a holy, unchangeable God. And of course, well, my friends, the wickedness of men and women, of course, that you see the world over. You know, it's so blatantly obvious, well, in this day and generation, at least anyway, and of course increasing as time goes on, and well, just as the Bible says, will increase as time goes on to the end, until that time when God, well, comes by his Son Jesus Christ to judge the wickedness of men. But in the meantime, until that point in time, it is now a day of grace, a day and time in which men and women can be reconciled to God, delivered from their wickedness, and of course reconciled to God and brought to a knowledge of his love, of his grace, his favor, but only, of course, only through his Son Jesus Christ. So you see, you have to understand that, well, the reason why God is angry with the wicked every day, well, you have to understand, you know, that that's not just an emotion with God. Now, times when you and I get angry, you know, it's just an emotion. But God, you know, his anger is a holy attitude that is just constant all the time towards the wicked, towards those who are at enmity against him. And that continues on, a constant disposition of anger towards the wicked until that is reconciliation takes place. But the reason for it is, my friends, as the Bible clearly states, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, the glorious standard that God has set for humankind. It's common to us all, the one common denominator that binds the entirety of humanity together. And that is that we've all sinned and we've all come short of the mark, the standard that God has set for the creatures that he has made. It's not that, you know, it's not that we've missed the bull's eye, you know. It's we've not even hit the target, not even tried to hit the target. Conceived in sin, born in sin, live in sin, live carelessly in sin. It's no wonder, my friend, you look at humanity and you look at its disobedience to its maker. No wonder God's angry with you, sir. Until you repent, that is, listen, believe the gospel.
You believe in God, right?
Yes, sir.
Why is beauty killing all these people around the world, man?
God's judgment, sir. God's judgment. The same as COVID, sir. COVID, pestilence, war, judgments of God, and more and worse to come if you do not repent and believe the gospel, sir.
Talking
out your off. No, sir. No, sir. And your unclean mouth, sir. Your unclean mouth, God could do something about that too. Wash it out. Wash your heart. Make it clean. Make it pure as the driven snow. But there you are, you see. Rebelling against God, against his salvation, and against his judgments too. Another evidence, my friends, a proof of demonstration of what I've been saying to you. The evidence of God's anger, angry with the wicked every day. Why COVID-19? The judgment of God, sent of God. People ask me the question over the last 2 years, why doesn't he take it away? Because he sent it, and he sent it to do his purpose. Why the war in Ukraine? God sent it. Look at the devastation in Ukraine, my friend. And that's exactly what we deserve in this country of ours. It's the judgment, it's the wrath, and it's the anger of God. And I tell you, or rather, God's word tells you, it's not going to get better sometime soon. It's going to get worse before it gets better. But of course, the good news is that in the meantime, in the midst of those judgments, whether it be COVID, whether it be war, whether it be cancer, or whatever else it might be, people actually do take heed, and they repent, and they trust in God through Jesus Christ, and are saved as a result of God's judgments that he sends upon them. But of course, there are others that it just simply hardens them and makes them worse than ever they were before. But then that too would be God's purpose. You see, everything that God does, everything that he wills, and everything that he sends us, it accomplishes his purpose, whatever that might be. I hope, I trust, that the preaching of the gospel here today would not be the occasion of you being further hardened, but rather that God would save you. Helps you to breathe, gives you life and being. That's the what? Your lungs? Who gave you your lungs? Who made your lungs? God made you, God gave you life and being. Yeah. Your very next breath is in his hands.
But who saves?
Huh?
Who saves? It's God that gave
God
me my
lungs. God does. The Bible says. God's word. God's word.
Okay. But who gave you that knowledge?
God did. God's word.
God gave you that knowledge.
Have a good day, sir. Would you like a copy of God's word to read?
I would, yes.
Yeah, there you go, look. Please, that's one. Enjoy, sir. So you see, my friends, it's, you know, God's will is done, whatever. You have to understand that the reasons, you know, God has justifiable reasons for being angry with the wicked every day. And that, my friends, is because we have all of us, every single one of us, we've all sinned against God, that is. You may offend your neighbor, you may hurt your family, you may hurt your next door neighbor, you may do all kinds of things to all kinds of people, but ultimately it's against God and God only that you sin. It's him that you offend with your sin. And so therefore he is righteously, justly angry with the wicked every day. But the good news is that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, into the world to save you from that wickedness, that you might be forgiven, reconciled to God, and that you might have his peace in your heart, and that you might know the hope of eternal life. But you see, because we've all sinned and come short of God's glory, every man, woman, and child born into this world is under the curse of God and deserving of eternal death, not eternal life. The curse of God lies upon the entirety of humanity, every man, woman, and child. But you see, my friends, that curse of God, well, again, I tell you, that's evident. You know, as you look around you in the world today, it matters not where you look, whatever nation, whatever community, family, friends, my friends, the evident curse of God upon humanity. But one of the reasons, prime reason, why Jesus died on the cross was to redeem those under the curse, that's us all, as we come into the world, to redeem us, to lift that curse from off us. When Jesus died on that cross, he bore the curse in his own body on that tree, so that the person who truly believes, trusts in Jesus, God removes the curse from off them. Jesus takes it. How you doing, madam? So like I say, friends, you know, it's believing in Jesus, trusting in God's Son, the one God sent into the world to die on that cross, to take the curse, to take His wrath and anger, that you might be delivered from it. Yes, God is angry with the wicked every day, but God has done something to remove His own wrath from off of us, to dissipate His own anger. He has sent His only begotten Son into the world, had Him crucified on a cross in order that God's wrath might be removed from off of you, and that your end might be eternal life rather, that is, than eternal death. So you see, there's no injustice. I mean, if God were to leave you, simply leave you to perish, you know, if God were, well, to leave the entire human race to perish, do nothing at all, no pressure on God to do anything to deliver you from your wickedness, just leave you, get on with it, just leave us all to destroy one another. That's all He has to do. But there was no pressure on God to do anything at all. We have no right. When man sinned, when we sinned, you know, friends, God, no pressure on God to, you know, to come and save us and deliver us. Could have just left us to our own devices, self-destruct mode, and we all perish and end up, of course, in everlasting burnings in hell, because that's what we, all of us, every single one of us, deserve. Eternal, eternal condemnation, my friends. That's what we deserve. That's what I deserve. But God in His grace and kindness gave me what I don't deserve. That's the grace of God. The grace, the gift of God. Eternal life in His Son, Jesus Christ. That's what you don't deserve. And God, in His kindness, in His merciful kindness, He gives to men and women whom He has chosen, He gives to them that which they don't deserve. He gives them His grace through the preaching of the gospel, that which I'm doing here today, making the gospel known, making the love of God known, making the anger of God known, in order that you might be delivered from His wrath and anger, and that you might be brought into the experience and knowledge of His love, everlasting love, the kindness, the grace of God, that which you don't deserve. So you see, my friends, all, every single one of us, what is due to us? You want your rights. You say, I've got my rights. That's what people say today. Well, you want that which is your right. Well, what you deserve then, what you would get then, is the wages that's due to you. My friends, the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is eternal death. But the gift of God, the grace of God, is life, is eternal life through Jesus Christ, whom I declare to you here this afternoon. What you don't deserve, the grace, the favor of God, the opposite to what you deserve. So don't be asking for your rights. Don't be asking, don't demand of God that which you are, you know, that which is your due. Don't be telling Him you've got your rights. No, no, my friends, what you need is what you don't deserve. You need His grace. You need His favor, His free favor. You need, my friends, His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, through whom eternal life, my friends, eternal life, the gift of God, the free gift of God. God, given to those who repent of their sin, turn from their sin, and believe, trust in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So no mistake about it, no contradictions here. God is angry with the wicked every day. God is love. The two, my friends, not contradictory, not at all. It is because God is love, because He is good, always good. Even if He sent you to hell, He would still be good. He's always good. He's the overflowing fountain of all good. There is no good apart from God. There's not good, and there's none that doeth good. There's none righteous, no, not one, says God. Only God is good, and there is no goodness apart from God. There is no life apart from God. So, the answer, my friends, is for you not to be looking for contradictions in the Bible, not for you to be arguing with God against His judgments and providences, but rather, my friends, agreeing with God, submitting to Him, acknowledging in the way of repentance of your sin, turning from it, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord. He will show mercy, abundantly pardon those who repent and believe the gospel, receive the love of God, the grace of God, the love, the merciful kindness of God. So you see, my friend, God has manifested His love in sending His Son into the world. Christ Jesus came into the world. Shake your head, madam. Doesn't change the truth. Not one iota, not one degree. God sent His Son into the world, manifesting His love again. No pressure on God. No need on God's part to do anything for any one of you, but He showed His love. You look where you will, I tell you, in all the world, any nation, society you like, you look for, you search for the love of God. You say, where do I find it? Everywhere you look, you see nothing but the wrath of God. In Russia, in Ukraine, in the West, in the East, look to the stars, the galaxies, in all creation, all creatures, great and small, nothing but the evidence, the manifestation of God's wrath, just as the Bible says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all the ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold down, press down, keep down the knowledge of God in their wickedness, in their unrighteousness. That's why God is angry with the wicked every day. That's why His wrath is revealed everywhere that you look in all creation. One place and one place only where God's love is manifest. And that, my friends, is in sending His Son, His only begotten Son, His sinless Son, sending Him into the world to rescue, to save sinners like you, that you might be rescued, redeemed from your wickedness that causes the anger of God every day to be upon you. There is the love of God sending Jesus, sending His Son, His only begotten Son, sending to you His very best, my friends. I don't know about you, but if you have any children, think on it, my friends. I would not give one of my children for the best of you, never mind the worst. But God, in sending his son into the world to save sinners, to save the wicked, those with whom he is angry with every day, sent his son to rescue and to save the worst of sinners, not just the best of them. But then, of course, more particularly, the love of God is manifested, I tell you, in the cross of his son, Jesus Christ. Not just sending his son, but sending him to die, specifically sent for that reason and that purpose. No, not to give you health, wealth, and prosperity, but to go to that cross and die to save you from real danger, eternal danger, to save you from sin, to save you from death, and to save you from hell. The reality of these things before you, my friend, Jesus Christ, in the love of God, sent to die on that cross to deliver you, I tell you, to deliver you from those reality of your sin, to which many of you are blind to today, many of you oblivious to, that sin that leads to death. Young lady asked the question some time ago in my presence. She said, why do people have to die? Simple answer is, because they're sinners. It's sin's wages. Why? You have to die. Death is not natural to men. God did not make us to die. Sin came into the world by one man, the first man, Adam. Not just the first man, the head of the whole human race. And in sinning, he brought death on himself. Warned, my friends, just as you are warned today. Warned, in the day that you eat of that fruit, you shall surely die. And die he did, and brought death upon us all, the entirety of his posterity, yourself and myself included. That's why men and women have to die, because of sin, because of the sin factor that's common to us all. All who sin, they come short of the glory of God. And so all die in Adam. But my friends, the only answer I know to death, and that is life. And Jesus said, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, the grace gift of God, is eternal life through Jesus Christ, whom I declare to you here today. The only answer to death, my friends, life. But death, that's not the end. That's not the finish. There's a door in the grave. One that not even the undertakers know about, will tell you about. There's another door in the grave, my friends, down into the reaches of hell. Hell, my friends, is the end of your sin. Eternal torments. The smoke of their torment, the Bible says, goes up, rises up, ascends up forever and ever. I tell you, there are men and women in hell this very moment, suffering those eternal torments, who would love to be back here now, hearing what you're hearing, would love to have another chance. But no, there are no second chances, says God. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the day of grace. Now you're hearing the gospel. Now you're hearing of the gift of God. Now you're hearing about the Son of God sent into the world, and that specifically to die for sinners, that you might not die everlastingly, eternally, but that you might have eternal life in the name of God's Son, Jesus Christ, through faith in his name. Only through faith, my friend. Not your works, not your deeds, not your perceived goodness, not your religion of any variety whatsoever. No flesh, says God, shall ever be justified before me by their works. One way only, my friend, one way only. Jesus says, I am the way, and the way, my friend, the way to apprehend that way is the way of faith, is believing. The moment that a sinner, the most wicked sinner, I tell you, believes, that moment from Jesus, a pardon receives, all the wickedness forgiven, eternal life given, a home in heaven assured, saved by the blood of Jesus Christ shed on that cross for sinners. In order that you might be delivered from sin and death and hell, the final outworking of your sin, of your wickedness, of your unbelieving hearts, the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever, the torments of hell, something to be saved from. Jesus alone can save you. So the love of God, you see, has been made manifest, clearly evident, in the sending of his Son, Christ Jesus, came into the world to save sinners. Christ Jesus came into the world to die on that cross to save sinners. Christ Jesus came into the world to die and to rise again from the dead to save sinners, so that they might never die, so that they might be delivered from death, so that they might be delivered from the power of sin, so that they might be delivered from the power of Satan, so that they might be delivered from the lie by believing the truth, by submitting to God's salvation through his Son, Jesus Christ. There is no other way. No other way, my friend. All the religion in the world won't do this for you. Not Muhammad's religion, not the Pope's religion, or anybody else's religion. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came into the world and died, rose again from the dead, that eternal life, eternal love, deliverance from your own personal wickedness and from the anger, the wrath of God, delivered forever by the love of God, by the love of God. God accomplished in sending his Son into the world to die on that cross. God accomplished what his law could not do, could never do. His law given not, my friend, not, I tell you, to save you, not so that you can read them and say, I'll obey them and they'll be good. You cannot. No, the law given to teach you, my friend, the kind of sinner it is that you are. Bring, I tell you, bring your righteousness. Bring your perceived goodness. Bring your I'm okayness. Bring it to the commandments of God. And let Moses shred them to pieces. Because your self-righteousness, I tell you, is an abomination, obnoxious in the eyes of God. One thing that Jesus hated more than anything else, self-righteousness. He never ever, he had a lot of things to say to a lot of people, all kinds of people, broken sinners, lost sinners, problems with evil, family problems, all kinds of issues. But one class of people he never had anything to say to, the self-righteous. The self-righteous. Jesus has got nothing to say to the self-righteous. That's you. You carry on. You just carry on. Because Jesus has got nothing to say to you. And I suggest to you that you bring your self-righteousness, you bring it to the commandments of God, and you meditate upon them, because you've broken every single one of them. And let those commandments, let them shred your self-righteousness. It's an abomination to God. And let them humble you, bring you down, bring you to despair, until you're ready to cry out, "What must I do to be saved?" Yes, until you're ready, cry out to Jesus Christ, "Save me or I perish." Because I tell you, nobody else can. Nobody else will. Nobody else has the power. Nobody else, my friends, appoint to the Savior. No one else but the authority. The power, I tell you, to save one sinner came to his own, but his own received him not. But to them who received him, who believed on his name, to them he gave the power to become children of God. Transformed from children of wrath into children of God by the grace of Jesus Christ. So you see, my friends, God is good. God is love. God is angry with the wicked every day. No contradiction there at all. He mercifully shows his mercy in sending his messengers to you. Every time that you hear the gospel, the good news of God's salvation, you hear it from one of his messengers sent to you to declare the gospel, to declare the truth as it is in Jesus. There's the mercy of God to you, that God still sends his messengers to you, that they come heralding the good news to you. The good news, my friends, that you don't hear in most of your churches today. They'll teach you how to dance and sing. They'll feed and they'll clothe you. They'll do all kinds of things for you. But they won't tell you about the wickedness of your sin. And they won't tell you about the anger of God against your sin. And they won't tell you of the love of God to repenting rebels who believe and trust in his Son, Jesus Christ. They won't tell you that. But my friends, God does yet have his faithful servants whom he sends amongst you to bring to you the good news of the gospel, to bid you to repent and believe the gospel. This is the mercy of God. For how much longer, I don't know, but today you hear the gospel. Today, my friends, you're bidden to repent and believe the gospel. That's the mercy of God revealed amongst you. The God sends his messengers to whosoever he pleases to. When he pleases to. He doesn't send his messengers everywhere. There are countries, there are nations, I tell you, who never get to hear the gospel. There are men and women in this world who are born, I tell you, conceived and born in sin, live and die in their sin, and go out of this world never having heard the gospel. And I tell you many of them, not all of them, but many of them, if they heard what you're hearing today, would fly into the arms of Jesus in order to be saved. But my friends, God sends the gospel. He sends his messengers to whoever and whenever he pleases to. So maybe perhaps it won't be with you for very long. I mean, you've sinned it away, have you not? Sinned the truth away, forsaken the truth. All the nations that forget God are cast into hell, the Bible said. You forget God, and you forget the truth that he has brought to you as a nation. You do so at your peril, I tell you. The day is coming. The day is coming, and I won't be surprised. God takes the gospel away from this nation. You don't deserve it anymore. But in spite of that, it's still with you. Still sends his messengers. Lift up their voices. Cry aloud. Tell you of your sin, your wickedness, and of the anger and the wrath of God, that in his grace and mercy, that you might be turned from it and turned into the kingdom of God in the way of repentance and faith. That's what he sends his messengers, his true messengers for, to tell you to repent and believe the gospel. What I come for today, repent ye and believe the gospel. The same message, my friends, that Jesus Christ himself proclaimed. Repent ye, come that is, come before you burn. Repent ye and believe the gospel. A negative and a positive. Repent, you turn from your wicked ways and your unrighteous thinking. And the positive, you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you get saved. Salvation in the way of repentance and faith towards the Son of God. That's the message. That's the only message. That's the message that 10 Downing Street needs to hear. That's the message that men and women on the street need to hear. That's the message that your young people, indoctrinated with by the culture vultures, indoctrinated with insanity. Insanity, I say. In this, your modern day generation, God has but one message for you. Repent ye and believe the gospel, for the kingdom of God is at hand, and you're excluded from that kingdom until you repent and believe the gospel. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Excluded. God's anger, wrath remains upon them until such time as they repent and believe the gospel. But how will you believe if you do not hear? And how will you hear unless the preacher comes and tells you? It's by this means that God has appointed, he tells us, to save sinners like you from under his wrath and anger, by sending preachers to you to lift up their voices in your midst and to tell you about your sin, your wickedness that incurs the wrath of God, and to tell you how you might be saved. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, and would take away yours today. Should you, that is, but trust in him, believe in him, God's Lamb slain upon that cross, his blood shed, poured out for sinners. under the wrath and judgment of God, that they might be alleviated from it, saved from it, delivered, rescued from the present wrath of God and from the wrath to come. So, my friend, the preacher comes to you and he tells you clearly, unequivocally, no contradictions in God's word. No contradiction in the statement that God is love and God is angry with the wicked every day. No contradiction at all. God is love. That's why he's angry with the wicked every day. Because we, all of us, well, we who have some measure of morality left to us in this country, we, all of us, when we see wickedness, we get angry. My friend, God too is angry with the wicked every day. But he has done something. And he has accomplished. He has accomplished his purpose in sending his only begotten Son into the world, that through him, that you might be delivered, saved, my friend, salvation. God's love in sending Jesus to die upon that cross in order that you might be saved, forgiven, cleared for heaven, the wrath of God removed from off you, in the way, only in the way, of repentance and faith towards the Son of God, who himself says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus bids you today, admonishes you, repent ye and believe the gospel. Repent ye, Newcastle. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Repent ye and believe the gospel.
Excuse me, is your name Ken?
No, not Kelton.
You just sound like somebody I know.
Right, no, sorry.
Repent ye, Newcastle. Repent ye. Turn. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Turn before you burn. Turn, repent ye and believe the gospel. Repent ye and believe the gospel, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Like you have a copy of God's written word, it's offered to you freely. Cost no obligation to you. Like one, come and ask for one. May God bless you, Newcastle, and of mercy, I say, mercy upon your precious, never dying soul.